Well, good morning again. You guys doing good? Yeah? Someone last week, I just was over talking with somebody and they just said, oh, just the atmosphere in here. Just needed that. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Man, we just want the presence of God in this place so much. We desire it so much, just for God to show up. If God doesn't show up, He's faithful, but we need Him. We're going to have you open your Bibles in just a minute, but when you were young, how many remember being young? How many still are? All right, now that's what I'm liking. This is not a description of immaturity. We're just, you know. How many are feeling young? That's good. The Church of God should be vibrant. Amen? Amen. Look at somebody. Say, you're vibrant. So when you were, when the date on the calendar was a number of years less than it is now, and you were alive, and you were smaller in stature and height, do you ever remember having any heroes? Someone that you wanted to be like? You ever just said, man, I want to be like, well, PJ, you're still a little kid, so you, I mean, it's fresh in your mind. It's fresh in your mind. When you were a little kid like PJ, do you remember who you wanted to be like? Who'd you want to be like? Who was your hero? Who'd you want to be just like? I want to be like who? Superman, yeah, I figured that one would come out. Who else? Red Ranger. I don't know who that is. I heard another one back there somewhere. Lone Ranger. Gene Autry, all right. He was a cowboy or something, wasn't he? Who doesn't really want to be like a cowboy? That's what I'm saying. Who else? Who's your hero? I want to be just like who? Ranger Bill. Raise your hand if you ever listened to Ranger Bill. Few of us. Ranger Bill, Warrior of the Woodlands. It was a show, an old-time show with the organ. Remember those old dramas? Especially those old Christian dramas? They were pretty cool. We had to listen to Ranger Bill. We couldn't watch cartoons until we listened to Ranger Bill. So for a long time, we had a negative connotation of Ranger Bill. We didn't care very much for Ranger Bill. Now I appreciate it, yes. Yep. Anybody else? I don't want to miss out on it. If someone's just got a hero, man, you just wished you could be like who? What's that? Roy Rogers. Yeah. Dale Evans. What's funny about that? Did I say it wrong? These guys are just hecklers. There's just a pile of hecklers over there today. Let's right now think of anybody current that you can think of right now or real famous that's just incredible in their skill level. Maybe they're an athlete, maybe they're a singer, maybe they're an artist, and you've heard people say, "Man, I want to if I could do that." Who? Tim Tebow. Yeah. Who? Yes. Who else? Yes. Who else? All right. Who else? Chuck Norris. Yes. Oh, wow. Did you know the boogeyman checks under his bed at night for Chuck Norris? A Chuck Norris joke on a Sunday morning. Can anything good happen from here on? I don't know. You guys are actually really responsive for the time change today. It's the time change. Normally you can just kind of write this one off. And you know, everyone's tired. They're coming in late. You guys are smiley and happy. Pastor should be here. I should have a picture. I should have a camera and take a picture of you, because sometimes we scare him. He would just be impressed if he saw all your smiling faces. Who's the most famous and talented athlete? We can agree. Let's take a vote right now. Who's Michael Jordan? Okay, we don't know who that is. Let's use Michael Jordan. Raise your hand if you've heard of Michael Jordan. All right, okay. We'll start out with that. We can all have a point of reference. We can all have a point of reference today. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Wait. Ephesians chapter 5. Imagine, and now this is a ridiculous thought, but sometimes we need to entertain ridiculous thoughts just because. Imagine if you read in the Bible and somehow the Bible changed from year to year, like certain parts of it. And imagine if for a number of time you read in the Bible that you need to be like Michael Jordan in order to walk out the life that you're supposed to walk out. You need to be able to do the things that Michael Jordan can do. That's what you need to be like. You need to walk like Michael Jordan. You need to jump like Michael Jordan. You need to shoot like Michael Jordan. You need to talk like Michael Jordan. You need to smile like Michael Jordan. You need to sell underwear like Michael Jordan. Seeing if you're paying attention. You've got to have in your life the qualities that Michael Jordan has. How many of you would be exasperated? Could we do that? We could, well, yes. Some of us are young and still live in a dream world. He's still asleep. We would be frustrated. How can we do that? I mean, and if we really were followers of God and we really loved God and we really wanted to do our best to follow God's word, which I believe a lot of us in here really do, we'd be out there every day, basketball for Jesus. If you guys have ever seen me, at sixth grade, I was out for basketball for 3 days and then it was over. And that was the extent of my career, because I'm really not coordinated. And so you take an uncoordinated junior higher and you put a ball this size that you're supposed to do something with consistently and then put them running around with a bunch of other kids. It's just a mess waiting to happen. Besides the fact that I run like a duck anyways. The football line ended up being a much better fit for me. But every day we'd be out there and you'd have a certain percentage of people that'd be all, they'd be, boy, those are good Christians. Look at them. They're dribbling, dunking and just all kinds of stuff. And then you'd have the other 80% that can't make it down the court, because we ran out of breath and, trying to dribble the ball like this, And we'd be really frustrated. How many of you know Michael Jordan is human? Raise your hand. Okay. So we're all agreed on that. Most of us know who he is. Most of us have some idea about his skill level. Most of us agree we'd be frustrated and find that to be unattainable if that's what God's requirement was of us. And all of us agree that he's human. Okay? Now let's read something here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be imitators of God. Now let's stop. The word imitators is the Greek word mimetes. Mimetes. M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Mimetes. Imitate. Mimete. Imitate. Anyone got an English word that they think this might have come from? Mimic. Mimic. What does it mean to mimic? To copy, to do the same things, to be just like. Has anyone ever gone to a high school play or to what do we call it? The West Side thing, the Missoula Children's Theater, or you've gone to sat in your living room with the television screen and the people come on there and do things, or you've gone to the place where they have the really big screen and then the projector comes on and you buy popcorn. Those are actors. Those are mimickers. They're doing things. They're being something, not in a bad way, but they're representing something. They're doing something just like someone else. They're kind of copying something. We're to be mimickers of who? Let's read it again. Be imitators, mimickers. Be imitators of God, therefore. Imitators of God. Now, hold on. I thought, let's back up a second. Just a few minutes ago, we were talking about what a discouraging scenario it would be if Michael Jordan was the standard for us to mimic. Dramatic pause. Now, who are we supposed to imitate? Is he a bearer of less ability or more ability than Michael Jordan? Does he have less intellect or more intellect than Michael Jordan? Less skill or more skill than Michael Jordan? We just took the bar from here, which we all agreed together no one's getting over, and raised it up to Mars. This, I read that the other day, and I just, whoa, wait, really? That's really what you're posing to us as mere flesh and blood who can't mimic other flesh and blood even when you set a standard for it. Now we're supposed to imitate God. You are supposed to be a mimicker of God. And we struggle with mimicking Michael Jordan. Or fill in the blank. How are we to achieve this? How do we go about doing this? How can I strive to copy God? So, what would I copy about God? What is God? Let's see. He knows everything. He's never wrong. He's the center of the universe. He decides what's right and wrong. He thinks everyone should go by his plan. Okay, we've described all the husbands in the room. He's expected to be everywhere at the same time. It's all the wives in the room. So we really need to define what it is we're supposed to mimic. Are we supposed to mimic omnipotence? Knowing everything that is to be knowable? Are we supposed to be transcendent? Are we supposed to be omnipresent? God is all those things. Are we supposed to be supreme? Are we supposed to be Lord of the universe? So it lays out really an idea for us. We're supposed to mimic God. But there's certain parts of God we're supposed to mimic. There's certain other parts of God that we just can't. We can never be the supreme ruler of the universe. Can we agree on that this morning? We can never be the supreme ruler of the universe. Some cultures and some religions will tell you that you can attain that. As ridiculous as that sounds, you cannot. You are a created being. You are a special created being. So we're supposed to imitate God. What are we supposed to imitate in God? Well, there's a whole list of things. But even if we started listing out those things, I got a hunch we'd get discouraged by the time we got halfway through them. I'm supposed to mimic this. My life is supposed to look like this every day. Gosh, don't we know I'm just a human? Let's read this again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as what? Dearly loved children. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. It gives us a key there that, number one, if you're going to be an imitator of God, first of all, you need to be a son of God. You need to be a daughter of God. Has anyone ever had your son or your daughter, I want to be just like you, Dad. I want to be just like you, Mom. That's a powerful moment. And then you run and scream and cry and hide in the corner for a while. You're like, oh, that is so, oh, that's bad. You've got the initial, it's the best day of my, oh, and then the realization, wow, this is a heavy responsibility. If you asked, I bet you the percentage would be incredibly high. Probably everybody, if you could stir our memories enough, probably everybody at one point or another in your life has had someone that you wanted to emulate. someone that you wanted to be like, whether it was a mom or a dad or a singer or an athlete or a cousin or an uncle, someone you wanted to be like. It stirred something in you. Here's what we need to realize. A lot of things God puts in us, we're created in certain ways, and a lot of times we fight against how God created us. God put in us a desire to emulate. God put in us a desire to be like somebody, to find something and hone in on it and be like it. And now the Bible's telling us, you need to want to be like your dad. I had an awesome dad. I have an awesome dad. I was like, what happened? Honey, he was just there a minute ago. Growing up, I had an awesome dad. But the Bible tells us, take it a notch higher. You've been, say, adopted. You've been adopted. You have your earthly last name, but now you've got a heavenly last name. You've got an identity now that entitles you to all the rights and provisions and entitlements of your new last name. And something happens. We sit around this table the last couple weeks, and this conversation's come up more than once. Something happens when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ. You're new inside. Well, what were you like before that? We've hashed it out. We thought we knew, then we looked it up, and we don't know. But something happens. We know that something comes alive. There's some kind of new life that goes on inside of you. There's some kind of a new creation. Look at somebody. Say, you're a new creation. There's a new man. There's something now besides your flesh. There's something now beside your flesh. It's the real you. It's the God you. It's the you that's got the last name of the Anointed One. It's the you that's got the last name of the Supreme Being. And you're now entitled to everything he owns and has. You've got the blood. Have you ever noticed that, like, a dad that was like a state athlete, a lot of times we'll have a kid that's like a state athlete. You know what I mean? It's, what do we call that? Genetics. You all have brand new genetics. You have a new genetic code. A new genetic code that enables you to do things that you couldn't do before. Now you can jump like Michael Jordan. 10 times over. Not in the physical world. Don't go out and try it, but well, do try it. It's probably good for you. But supernaturally, you're God's children. And there's a key here. Go back to a couple pages. In your Bible, it's 4 pages. Most of our other Bibles, back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, so we started out talking, we're to be a mimicker, an imitator of, well, even someone human would be almost impossible, not impossible, but really frustrating at the very least. Now he says, be imitators of God, who, oh yeah, by the way, rules the universe and is everywhere all at once and is supreme being. So we're supposed to mimic him. Okay? So we need something. We need some help in this area, all right? And so he gives us this key that we now have new DNA. We now have something else. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. For this reason I kneel before the who? The Father. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family... Say family. His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We've got the name of God. We've got his lineage. We've got his spiritual bloodline in us. In our flesh, we've all got ideas about who we are. Well, I'm this, or I'm this nationality, or I'm this race, or I'm this color, or I'm this temperament. We did a marriage thing this weekend, and we found out, you know, a little bit about different personalities and temperaments. Or I am Irish, so I get mad really easy, you know, or whatever. I'm Latin, or I'm, you know, whatever it is. That maybe not necessarily defines us, but we kind of got an idea who we are. Well, we also are as real as our flesh is. There's a more real part of us that's supernatural. I am supernatural. It's not just natural me hoping God helps me. It's supernatural me, endowed with the power of Christ, letting God move in me and through me. Supernatural. I've got a brand new nature. Everything that my old nature is, my new nature can supersede and counteract. If I'm stuck in a rut in my flesh, I can't ever get past this. My spirit man can. And so we need to learn to let that take control. Let's keep on going here. Verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen. Strengthen. So we're talking about the power, the strength to do an impossible task here, to mimic God, to be like God. He prays right here. Paul does. Watch this. That he may strengthen you with what? With power. Through his spirit in your inner being, your spirit man that receives directly from God. So that, listen to this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now hold on a second. He's writing this to the church at Ephesus. The church is made up largely of church people. The church people largely are Christ followers. Why would he pray for them that Christ could dwell in their hearts? I thought they already were Christians. I've got Jesus. Where is he? He's in my heart. Little boy, little girl, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Yes. Jesus lives in my heart. So why would he write a letter to a church that was following Christ? And we know they were. He says they were doing a good job. And he says, my prayer for you is that Christ could dwell in your heart. Thought he already was dwelling in our heart. So, if we know he was dwelling in our heart, but Paul prays for him to dwell in our heart, we can gather a couple of conclusions from that. Either one, he lied about it the first time, you know, or there's something else we need to get here. There's more. There's more. How many of you believe that the church of God can be more than what we see right now? Amen? And that's not a bash. That's not a negative. That is, hey, our best days are coming. The church of God, God's beginning to breathe into his church, and we're starting to see a stirring of the Holy Spirit. We're starting to see things, and people grab a hold of things, and the people of God begin to do things in the Spirit that just are incredible. Things that we said only the people that are in the spotlight can do. The church of God is saying, no, we believe this is for us. God gave gifts to his people. And we want to do this thing. The cost is too great if we don't. People are dying. We need to get out there. We need to be Jesus to people. And so we're seeing that. We're seeing the church of God start to rise up. So he writes this. He said, hey, sons and daughters, I'm praying for you that you could be strengthened on your inside so that Christ can dwell inside of you. There's a fullness of God that we haven't experienced yet. There's a fullness of Christ. There's where we can walk into our schools and we can walk into our workplaces and not be cowering and not be arrogant, but be so full of Christ that it leaks out of us, that we walk in there and the power of Christ is present and we touch somebody and their shoulder gets healed because Christ is walking around inside of us, that Christ is dwelling. There's a fullness. There's a greater measure. And then guess what? We're going to be mimickers. Paul said, I pray that you'd be strengthened. Keep going. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. That you being rooted and established. A lot of times we gloss over this part of it. Because we've heard, if we've read once at the beginning, you know, somewhere in about Luke, that God loves us, then we're kind of set for the end. Especially guys, you know. The love issue for us is not very repetitive. We need it, we just don't want to admit it. That's really the deal. And so, hey, I got it. God loves me. We're good. Okay, now what else are we going to learn about? Okay? The girls, they like that. They soak that up. He loves me. And then you go through all it. And then, he still loves me. And by the time I get to this page, he still loves me. So they're a little more geared for that. But us guys, we're like, hey, I read, even Genesis. We're covered. I don't, for God so loved the world. We're good. Okay, let's learn about something now. And I think we miss a key here. And so Paul has got this dynamic, powerful prayer that the church of God would be strengthened on the inside, that they would rise up, they'd have the fullness of Christ, they'd be mimickers of God, they would imitate the supreme creator of the universe, walk around as Jesus did with the fullness of Christ on the inside of them, right in this prayer, and then they know that God loves them. I don't think that's how it was meant. I think he's giving us a key here. Let's read it. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, there's that power word again, with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I don't think we have a clue the greatness of God's love for us. I think we think when we're doing all right, then God loves us. And we mess up and God might love us, but only because he has to. You know, God's got this all-surpassing love for us. And when we realize that God shows up on the scene and he is crazy about us, how many of you and your kids ever had some situation and you were scared to death, but then dad showed up? And you, all right, it's going to be all right. Even if I fall or even if some bully comes or whatever, I'm not scared anymore. I can do this because dad's there. That's kind of what he's trying to get at. You're his family. You're beloved. You are loved with a love that you can't even imagine. And so if we know that, if we know it, then we don't operate out of performance. We're not trying to perform to get God to love us. We walk around in such a confidence that God loves me. And if we experience that love, we know that he loves you too. And so what am I going to do? If I've really experienced that love, man, I know God's heart breaks for me. And so if I see you and you're lost, guess what my heart's going to do? It's going to break for you. If I've experienced that love of God and experienced it, and I know it, and I go home, and my wife's all growly and grouchy at me. We're just imagining. Yes, it's all vain imaginations right now. She's all growly and grouchy. And if I've been with God, if I've experienced that love, I can look at her with the eyes of Christ, and I can see how God just pours himself out to love her. And I can start treating her as God would treat her. I can be a mimicker. I can start loving her. Oh, guess what? Maybe that's in the Bible, huh? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You start digging into this, you find out there's kind of a theme here. There's kind of a, it runs through the whole deal. And so he's saying there, a key to this is knowing this love. And I love this. I like to pretend. I like to pretend sometimes that I'm an intellectual. I dabble, then my brain hurts, and then I got to do something else for a little bit. But sometimes I kind of like to follow logic threads. And you know, as my buddy last night, he's a programmer, and I'm a programmer. And so we start talking about PHP and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, and languages, and CSS 3 just came out, and HTML5 just came out, and started doing all kinds of, he used to code Silverlight, and he worked for Microsoft, you know, just, we get into stuff that just normal people just, and I pretend like I understand a lot of what he's saying, just because it's cool, like, yeah, I love that. So I've been learning more, so I can keep up with the conversation a little bit more, because I'm doing more, and so, as an intellectual, logically, I look at this verse, and I say, verse number 19, Paul's going on with his big elegant prayer, and to know love that surpasses knowledge. And most of us, okay, we move on. And my analytical mind goes, to know love that is unknowable. It surpasses knowledge. It's not knowable. You can't know it because it's beyond your knowledge. You can't grasp it. Paul says, I want you to know love that you have no possible way of knowing. There's an axiom for me. I gotta work around this thing. How do I? He's saying it's so much greater than you can imagine. You can't know it in your own mind. You can't conceive of it. You think you understand the love of God, but there's a power for the church of God when you come and you embrace Christ and you let him explain and display his love for you, and you let him show you what he sees and how he sees the lost and how he sees the hurting and how he sees the needy. Guess what? You're going to have a revelation of God's love that you've never had before. And it's going to change how you act. It's going to change your behavior. It's going to change. But you can't get it by just coming to church once a week and just listening to a preacher. You can't. It's great, and we should do that. But you can't. There's got to be more than that. The church of God has got to press in for more than that. We've got to spend time with him. If I showed up for my date once a week for an hour with my wife, oh wait, we're a different church, for 2 hours. If I showed up for once a week for 2 hours with my wife, we had our time together, and we clapped for a while and talked a little bit and then went home. I went my way, she went her way. You think there would just be a bond and an intimacy? You think we would just flow together and our life would just be heading the same direction and we'd just have the greatest marriage? Raise your hand if you believe that's what would happen. Nobody? Come on. We've got to spend time. We've got to be with her. We've got to know her. The same thing God's saying. You got to know me. You got to know this love. And it will change you from the inside out. It'll change your behavior. It'll change how you think. It'll change your thought process. It will change the lens that's on your eye, how you see everything. Some of you farmers, you view everything through the farming lens. Well, there's some good land. Look at those cows. See that horse over there? Plumbers, you walk into a house and you're like, well, that sink needs fit. There's a drip. You know, you get it? We all have our lens. I used to snowboard. Ooh, there's a good hill. You know, you would drive along talking about, you know, wheat futures and, oh, there's a good snowboarding hill. We see things through our lens. The more intimate and closer you draw to Jesus, the more he changes your lens, and you start seeing, oh, I see you as God sees you now. I see you're operating out of a wounded heart. That's why you're so vicious. I don't need to attack you back. I just can love you now. That's the antithesis of everything that's within us. We want to react and go back to Ephesians chapter 5. We're just about done. We're really just about done. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to read if just right the chapter before this and the rest of the chapter of Ephesians 5 is just, whoa, it's just bam, bam, whoa. It's just, I mean, it just pounds it home. I mean, it deals with sin. It deals with attitudes. You got to come up for air. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to read a little bit of leading up to this verse, okay? Just a little bit leading up to this, be imitators of God. What's right before that? Because it says, be imitators of God, therefore. So it's kind of talking about what he had just said before this. Chapter 4, verse number 29. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Watch your words, but only what is helpful for building others up. We talked about that a few months ago. According to their needs, that it might be beneficial to those who listen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all, listen, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate. Listen to this. If any of you are here or you listened to Pastor's message from last week on the radio or on the website, you'll recognize this. As I was working this through, I'm like, hey, that's what Pastor preached about last Sunday. This same thing. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Imitate that. Imitate that forgiveness. Then be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. We're to imitate that. We're to walk that out. If you don't have the new man on the inside of you and you don't have Christ dwelling on the inside of you, you are going to be a frustrated Christian. You're going to be frustrated with the demands, the bar, the level that God sets us, that expects us to walk in, because I can't do this. I just get so mad at those creeps. Just torques me off when they say things like that. And you'll find yourself dwelling in that realm. Oh, all right, God wants me to forgive them. Stupid idiots. That's not where he wants us to live. He says, just move over a little bit inward. Touch heaven. Spend some time. Watch what I'm going to show you about what I think about you. And you're going to go, whoa. I was despicable. And look at what you've given me. Man, I can do that for them. That's nothing. And you'll start to walk in a new appreciation for his creation, for his people. Amen?